Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Federal prosecutors charging Philadelphia public schools with failing to inspect 8 different schools for damaged asbestos. We've talked a lot about the aging schools, and we've talked about this particular story, the district agreeing to have the criminal case deferred while it pays for a court-supervised monitor to try to keep tabs on its response. So prosecutors saying this was the first time that any school district in America, in the United States of America, has ever faced this kind of environmental criminal charge. The district charged with 8, these aren't allegations, these are charges actually. So 8 counts of violating the Federal Toxic Substances Control Act for accused of failing to perform inspections in a timely manner during the recent 5-year period. So the judge has to approve the terms of this deferred prosecution deal, which would avoid a grand jury indictment. If the school district does comply with the relevant federal laws here, the government then can eventually, they'll just drop the charges. But this, what this does is it puts them on notice and it puts them under the microscope, if you will. 300 of the school district's aging set of 339 buildings, by the way, do contain asbestos. There's a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office stating all of the numbers and the stats on this. It's pretty disturbing. And we've covered on Kale and Company here, we've covered some of these stories where we have parents groups very concerned about this. There have been protests. So asbestos, obviously a material that was in wide use until the 1980s, and it is linked to some different cancers and some of the deadliest types of lung diseases. So investigators say some asbestos was improperly addressed. Schools have had to close as a result of the asbestos problems. And they say that this has been a widespread, long-standing problem and danger that puts both students and teachers and janitors, everybody in the building, in danger.
So you said 300 out of 339 buildings.
Because we're an old...
That's 88%. Yeah. 88% of schools, 40-plus years removed from when that was the thing, right? You said the 80s, correct? Mm-hmm.
Was so the last time they actually used the asbestos.
So you've had 4 decades, and you've only eliminated 10% of the problem.
Yep.
That's inexcusable.
And Nick, we've covered this with the parents side and the teachers, too.
I mean, is it really too much to ask for in a city like Philadelphia just to have no asbestos and maybe some air conditioning? Is that too much to ask for?
Yeah, and you have to, I think with all these empty buildings, especially during the pandemic, we have huge buildings, brand new buildings that have stood empty or 50%. I don't know, maybe they should lease out space, just demolish the buildings at this point.
Drop a few Moabs on these buildings. I had enough of this already.
So we'll talk about SEPTA as well. Drastic cuts that we've been talking about with SEPTA facing because of nobody's riding SEPTA as much, as not as many people are coming into the city, etc. SEPTA officials voting unanimously on their board to pass 45% service cuts as well as a huge jump in fare prices to help cover that $213 million budget shortfall. So they're calling it a doomsday scenario, but riders would start seeing those changes in August 24th, when 20% of services will be cut. And that would include eliminating some bus routes. It looks like nearly 3 dozen bus routes would end. All the special services, express trains after games, things of that nature. So the next big game, the big change will happen in September. That's when a 21.5% fare hike goes into effect. And then the base fare goes up to $2.90. So some big changes coming with SEPTA as they vote for this. We have a 42-year-old Brookhaven man who worked for the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, now criminally charged, with soliciting bribes from immigrants. and making, you know, lying to them, promising them things that seriously could not be kept about what steps he would or could take to help them with their immigration cases. Identified as Amara Dukuli, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Liberia, most recently, according to the authorities, accepted a $6,000 cash bribe from a CI, a confidential informant, who was posing as an immigrant. And that's according to these federal charges that have now been filed in a federal Philadelphia court just yesterday. So they said that there was a CI. Apparently, they had reports of this. They were onto it, doing this undercover investigation. And they had this April meeting with the confidential informant when Dukuli then accepted that cash, according to the authorities. And this is while they were recording them. They were out in a parking lot, a Walmart parking lot is where they met, according to,
Walmart parking lots and Home Depot parking lots, the official parking lots of illegal immigration.
Yes. So these are, you know, Nick, you know, this is unfortunate because these are people who are going through the process. They've followed all the rules. You know, they're going to the offices, making all their dates, and they stood in line, waited, you know, all of that, doing things right. And then, according to the federal authorities, being preyed upon.
Mm-hmm.
So that person facing the charges. And by the way, just looking up some different numbers as far as detained populations of illegals in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, these numbers are reportedly at their highest levels. So ICE holding 358, and in New Jersey, it would be, let's see, in New Jersey, 358, in Pennsylvania, 358, and in New Jersey, 353 people at facilities here. And you may look at those numbers and say, well, going back for how long, I believe that these numbers rival those during the Obama, because remember, President Obama was known as the deporter in chief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so these numbers all the way back to the Obama administration would rival these types of numbers.
Good.
And that brings us to the so-called Maryland dad story. And we've been talking this morning on our group chat about this is Kilmer Abrega, who was obviously the so-called Maryland dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's news of him and apparently fake news, but this is the Trump administration there were all these reports that they were planning to deport migrant Kilmer Abrego for a second time. But they've announced that, in fact, that's just fake news, that he will be put on trial. He's in federal court. He'll face a federal court on migrant smuggling charges, according to the White House.
The media's commitment to the headline is still phenomenal. Axios last night, they put out the tweet with the little red alert emoji, breaking in all capital letters, Trump administration to deport wrongfully deported Maryland resident again. So he's gone from a Maryland family man to a Maryland resident.
Yeah.
He's not a resident. He's an illegal alien. Resident.
So apparently after the trial, then if he were deported, he would be sent to a third country, not El Salvador. So that's what the caveat here, because the media got confused with this. That's part of it. With all the fake news reporting.
Remember how long that story was in the news cycle for? We did at least a week and a half of shows where he was brought up in some context, whether it was Van Hollen on the cut sheet or whoever. Unbelievable. Good to have Abrego Garcia back in the news. I was wondering if he was all right.
Yeah, and by the way, the federal judge overseeing Abrego's case has ordered his release. He could be released today. Now, the Trump administration, they say they have plans to immediately take him into immigration custody if that happens. So they're still back and forth.
Holman's sitting out there waiting on the curb for him.
Gosh. So we have that one going on. And going viral, I will say, this Bezos wedding in Venice. You can't make this stuff up. Yesterday there was news that they were having foaming parties on boats. Have you heard of this?
Foaming?
Yeah.
I was foaming last night when my wife was finishing off a strip steak on the grill. That's the only foaming party I ever had. What's that?
Where is it? You know, like a bubble bath foam? It's like bubble bath, and they put like bath foam all over themselves.
Yeah, and you've never been to like a there used to be clubs on Delaware Avenue. They used to do like foam parties.
Wait, Greg, did you do this?
I've done in the early 2000s. Yeah, there was I don't remember the names of the clubs, but
yeah,
a lot of those places too, like Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you can go to that have like it's like. You're in a club area, and
right. You pop an ecstasy, foam, you get a glow stick, and
foam comes down from the ceiling, and you know.
Well, you got to remember, I got married when I was 12, so I missed a lot of this stuff.
Well, that's right. When you move into your new home, it'll be just in time for your wedding anniversary. Is it 16 years, 17 years?
Yeah, close enough, something like that.
Bezos, ginormous wedding. We all paid for with all those packages we get delivered to our house.
Oh, great.
Cool. So there you go. So sleep tight, America, because we paid for that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff and Lauren Sanchez's the lavish Venice wedding. I don't know. I would have chosen Isle of Capri personally, but, you know, they're in Venice. Look, they're happy.
Have you seen the transformation of Bezos physically?
Yes.
He looks like a different human
being. He does.
Doesn't he?
Well, she I think has always been very fit and into fitness.
Yeah.
So whatever, you know, she's doing for him, I mean, I will say it's working. He's never looked better.
I would venture to say that he's taking human growth hormone, but that would just be a guess. Because he went from being kind of a sloppy, skinny fat guy to like John Cena.
When you have all that money, you can hire personal trainers that'll make you, that sculpt you into the body you want.
Sure.
You
know,
so. Sculpt it.
Yeah.
But all these celebrities they were showing arriving and this lavish event, and it's, I mean, what did they say, $55 million for this wedding?
Yeah, we paid for it,
Don. OMG.
Yeah. Every time that package shows up on your porch,
there's
razor blades.
Yeah.
That purse you don't need.
Everybody loves to talk about the surveillance. The government is going to spy on us. No. You know who's spying on us? Amazon. Amazon has all your info, okay? And we can thank ourselves for it. We can thank ourselves for it.
By the way, you can really ascend the ladder at Amazon. If you decide to leave whatever profession you're in, they have like 7 different tiers, and you can get up to like level 2, level 3, which is just a few pegs below Bezos. And obviously, you're not going to make Bezos money. But I have a buddy in Tennessee who quit a professional financing career, started in an Amazon warehouse just doing boxes. Within 2 years, he was making like $200,000. Because people don't do that work. They don't want to move boxes and ship things around and drive a truck. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to grind for like 5 years, you can climb that ladder real quick.
That's amazing.
It's the tip of the day, folks. You're welcome.
Hey, look, I mean, they look happy. They're in a he proposed to her on a $500 million yacht.
Well, I did that with Kristen.
You did?
Yeah, 2008, when I was up in the Lehigh Valley doing AM sports talk.
He gave her a 30-carat pink diamond engagement ring.
You jealous, Dawn?
I am. 30-carat. You know that movie, and this is a horrible thing for me to admit, you know that movie Blood Diamond? About the guy.
Yeah, sure, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and they're in Africa, and the guy has to hide the pink diamond in his rear end. And Nick never saw this.
No, I haven't seen Leo since Titanic.
Anyway, all I thought was, after the movie, I said to Larry, I want a pink diamond. He's like, you're a terrible person after that movie. You're terrible.
You're a terrible person, yes. Any woman that wants that is a terrible person.
It's a terrible person.
I confirm.
But she got the ultimate blood diamond, 30-carat, gorgeous pink diamond ring. Anyway, God bless him.
Yeah, sure. Who cares?
Whatever.
Who cares?
Whatever.
I hope the yacht sinks.
I don't.
How about that?
So they didn't go on a carnival cruise?
Yeah. No, there's no carnival cruise there.
No, I don't know if...
I hope that yacht's like the Titanic. Iceberg straight ahead! Good. Good. I hope it hits her plastic surgeried face.
Hey, she's looking good. That woman is fit. Look at her stomach. You could like.
I love when that one sailor on the Titanic tells Molly Brown to shut the hole in her face.
That's what happens, Dawn, when you have no responsibilities or cares in the world. You can spend all your days, making sure your abs are flat and sculpted like that.
I'll take that life. I'll be a kept woman.
Captain Capitalist, a little in his feelings over Bezos' rise to.
I know.
No, I'm not in my feelings. I just despise Bezos.
They are They kind of give me the same vibes that the royal family does and all this stuff over in England. Meghan Markle and that whole nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, we sit here and say, we don't like royalty, but we do because we worship billionaires in this country. It's gross.
It's gross.
You guys are funny.
It is. It's absolutely gross.
Yeah. No, you're right. Funny. I'm not into the billionaires. I'm really not. It doesn't do much for me, I got to tell you.
So I will say I have friends who worked with her because remember she worked in Los Angeles and Fox Sports and stuff like that. They said she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, sure she's a media. Remember her? She has a media background.
Yeah, sure she was a news reporter. Oh. She was a news anchor. That's how they met.
Oh, that's why you like her.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably. But that is why I like her because people said she's a sweetheart, really okay. Down to earth and whatnot. Yeah. So
sure.
Listen to Greg.
Sure she is. Mm-hmm. who cares about their wedding? Who cares about their wedding?
I don't care. I wouldn't have cared as much, except it's in Italy. And because I love Italy, it tells me a lot
tours?
About... They should have called Ken Chase.
Yeah.
I did see they had one of their engagement parties. I think, in Positano. In Positano, Italy.
Oh.
And now they're in Venice. So maybe they called our friend Ken Chase from... conservativetours.com. I don't know. Maybe they'll show up at Dom Giordano's Sicily tour. Can you imagine?
Dom starts doing an interview and tapes it and sends it back to Dan.
Right.
Hey, put this in the can for when I get back.
So we'll get to the forecast. A much cooler day today, but the all-important weekend, which is a kickoff weekend, you might say, to July 4th week. So Nick will have that in just a second. Got to talk about our sponsor, Staples, this morning. How many times have we all said, that was easy? Well, the Staples Easy Button is back, and it's got us saying it again for custom prints, shipping services, even passport photos, plus high-quality products delivered next day to more than 98% across America. Staples, that was easy. Staples, thank you for sponsoring First Edition, Kill & Company News Live. Man, Nick, it feels like we went from July to, I don't know, fall weather in a day.
Yeah, we went from Florida back to Seattle, 65 degrees, high of 72 today, but no rain, setting up for a beautiful weekend, sunny both days in the high 80s, and that sets us up next week. Weather pending any changes, we will have temperatures in the mid to high 80s and relatively dry. Philly weather brought to you by mtruhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's mtruhl.com. Coming up next Friday, Big Take. Pete Hegseth checks CNN into the SmackDown Hotel. Back after this.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company live on a Friday morning. Yeah, baby. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. 1 year ago today, June 27th, 2024, in Atlanta, Georgia, live on CNN, the first and only debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And we all know how that went. Speaking of CNN and Donald Trump, let's get down to a Friday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by First Bank, Secretary Hegseth against CNN. When it comes to the effectiveness of Donald Trump's decision to strike Iran's nuclear sites, you need to choose a side. Do you trust 47, Pete Hegseth, and Caroline Leavitt? Or do you believe CNN, potentially a Democrat in Congress who allegedly leaked a report about the ineffectiveness of total destruction on the intended target, which contradicts Donald Trump's claim that the operation was perfect and went exactly as planned, as well as the supreme leader of Iran? It's that simple. Trump, Hegseth, and Leavitt, or CNN, a leaker in Congress, and the Ayatollah. I would argue that it's far more likely that America's attack went as close to planned as possible than CNN, a weasel in office trying to upend the president, and a nation that can't be trusted. And you know, I'm a guy who doesn't take any politician at face value 24/7, 100% of the time. But yesterday's evidence and presentations lead me to believe that CNN, once again, proved that they are fake news and why Americans no longer trust the once most trusted name in news. And this is coming from a guy who has ripped Pete Hegseth for his questionable judgment in the past. But I have no reason to believe that he's lying about how these strikes were executed and the effectiveness of them. Trump as well. He has a good history of success in anything that he touches in the Middle East when it pertains to peace or killing intended targets. And if you haven't been paying attention to this story, here is what has unfolded. CNN reporter Natasha Bertrand ran with a story from one source that America's strikes on Iran were not a success. Basically, what happened was false intelligence was leaked to a dying network in CNN with a CNN reporter who has a track record of awful sourcing, reporting, and downright anti-Trump propaganda, which includes the following: claiming the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. She also echoed the debunked narrative that ruled out a man-made lab leak of the COVID-19 virus and pandemic. She also resurrected the suckers and losers hoax just last year in 2024 after that was already debunked. And then also baselessly smeared the DNI's John Ratcliffe for exposing Iranian interference in Trump's campaign. Here is Pete Hegseth taking the media to task for lying about the effectiveness of strikes against Iran. Listen and watch this.
I want to read some of the assessments that have been provided, because whether it's fake news, CNN, MSNBC, or the New York Times, there's been fawning coverage of a preliminary assessment. I've had a chance to read it. Every outlet has breathlessly reported on a preliminary assessment from DIA. I'm looking at it right now. Again, it was preliminary, a day and a half after the actual strike, when it admits itself in writing that it requires weeks to accumulate the necessary data to make such an assessment. It's preliminary. It points out that it's not been coordinated with the intelligence community at all. There's low confidence in this particular report. It says in the report there are gaps in the information. It says in the report multiple linchpin assumptions are what this assessment, a linchpin assumption, you know what that is? That means your entire premise is predicated on a linchpin. If you're wrong, everything else is wrong. And yet, and still, this report acknowledges it's likely severe damage. Again, this is preliminary, but leaked because someone had an agenda to try to muddy the waters and make it look like this historic strike wasn't successful.
Now, you heard Pete rattle off the three culprits: MSNBC, The New York Times, and CNN. I believe CNN is the biggest violator of all. Here is CNN anchors caught in their own lies, courtesy of Media Research Center. Listen and watch this.
But at the same time, we do need to make clear that despite the emotional speech and outrage from the defense secretary, what he said about the DIA assessment is what CNN reported on. His issue that he took about it being preliminary, about it being low confidence. CNN reported on all of this. I was looking back just to make sure that we had it all. Throughout the reporting process, CNN had reported that it is preliminary and, of course, can be updated, including these two parts. It is still early, we reported in our initial report, for the U.S. to have a comprehensive picture of the impact of the strikes. None of the sources described how the DIA assessment compares to the views of other agencies in the intelligence community. The U.S. is continuing to pick up intelligence, including from within Iran, as they assess the damage. Also in CNN reporting, where the secretary took real issue and seemed very upset about it not being stated that there was low confidence stated in this DIA assessment.
It's in
also
there.
In CNN reporting, including this: the final U.S. military battle damage assessment by the DIA could take days or even weeks to complete. Multiple sources familiar with the Pentagon's process told CNN the initial DIA analysis was produced just 24 hours after the attack, according to one of the sources, because it was only a preliminary analysis. Its judgments were low confidence, the sources said. It was not coordinated with the wider intelligence community, according to a U.S. official, and the document itself acknowledged that it could take weeks to produce a finalized assessment.
It is literally what you said.
It is a preliminary report. The reporting was done.
CNN looks vindicated, right? Wrong. That is not what Natasha Bertrand reported on CNN. Phil, please post these three graphics on YouTube. These are two tweets from Nicholas Fondicaro, the associate editor of the MRC and Newsbusters. Let's go with post one, where Nicholas says, using the Wayback Machine, you can see that the initial report pushed by Bertrand on Tuesday does not have the words low confidence nor preliminary. The only times the word low is even used was by White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt telling CNN the leak came from, quote, an anonymous low-level loser in the intelligence community, and the assertion that the bombs, quote, would likely not successfully penetrate Isfahan's lower levels, end quote. Now let's go to post two from Nicholas of the MRC and Newsbusters, who says the following. Those words don't appear in any version of the article until Wednesday afternoon, when they quote Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's criticisms of the assessment. Quote, Hegseth, who is also at the NATO summit, said Wednesday the assessment was a top secret report. It was preliminary. It was low confidence, adding that there were political motives behind leaking it and that an FBI investigation was underway to identify the leaker, end quote. And the third and final post from Nicholas is the actual video. Here's Bertrand's initial appearance on CNN to push her story. Again, nowhere does she use the words low confidence or preliminary. In fact, she implies just the opposite, proclaiming with confidence, quote, and so it appears that while these bombs did, in fact, inflict significant damage on the above ground structures at these nuclear facilities, the most sensitive and core parts of the nuclear program, which include the centrifuge, which include the highly enriched uranium, those do not appear to have been severely impacted, if impacted at all, with one of our sources who has seen the assessment describing all of those core components as largely intact. We can play that clip for you coming up that I just quoted after the big take later this hour. But for now, here's CNN's Brian Stelter in total spin mode for his anchors, his reporters, and his network. Listen and watch.
There's so much more reporting to do on this topic. This is a very complex matter, even though Trump tried to make it sound simple on Saturday night. It's really important to note what CNN did not report. CNN did not report that this mission was a failure. Far from it. It may have turned out to be a tremendous success. We just don't know all the facts yet, and neither does the U.S. government.
That little toad is in damage control mode for the network that continues to display zero credibility. Have you seen their ratings? Nobody goes to them anymore. Here was Caroline Leavitt yesterday when asked about the leaker of false intel. Listen and watch this.
And it's to the same reporter, I will add, Natasha Bertrand of CNN, who has done this in the past. In 2020, it was Natasha Bertrand who had 51 intelligence analysts falsely lie to her, but she still put it on paper for some reason, that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. We all know that's not true, right? We can all agree on that now. That was a lie from the intelligence community. Also in 2020, this same reporter, Natasha Bertrand, wrote that a top intel agency ruled out the man-made lab leak theory of the coronavirus origins. Again, the president was right about that. This reporter wrote a lie from the intelligence community to seek a narrative she wanted to prove. And guess what? We now know that's the truth. Also, in 2024, Bertrand pushed the suckers and losers hoax.
Find the leaker, prosecute them, and jail them. Simple. Set a precedent that this can't be tolerated in this country. According to Fox News, an expert says the strike was a success. They report, as the total damage to three Iranian nuclear sites continues to be assessed, one Middle East expert says that Iran's stated assessment only reinforces U.S. and Israeli views. Israel, which has said the strike set the Iranian nuclear program back years, has the greatest resources in place to make a determination and the most incentive to get the facts right, says Jacob Oladart, director of the Center of American Security at the America First Policy Institute. Quote, both the U.S. and Israel say they achieved their objectives. Israel presumably had planned around this for many years, and Israel says it has met its objectives, which is destroying Iran's ability to enrich uranium, end quote. And I'll wrap with this. When I was at the Odyssey Sports Station in Atlanta from 2020 through 2022, I worked with a morning host named John Fricke, and he used to be a news desk editor for CNN back in their glory days, prior to doing sports reporting for CNN in the 90s. He stays out of politics as a sports talk host, but he tweeted this thread yesterday, and I think it's worth sharing because he's not an attention seeker at all. In fact, he's rather bland and boring, but he's my buddy. He wrote, I sadly have low expectations from the sixth grade level reporting that now occurs at CNN. The latest is a truly unprofessional report by Natasha Bertrand that was from such a questionable and borderline indefensible single source. Previously unthinkable that CNN would ever allow that to air, that it would warrant her and her senior approval on source allowance, at the very least, a demotion and lengthy suspension. Frankly, the report was a fireable offense. CNN's reporting standards have collapsed, and with it taken the credibility of a once great network that my extended family, with nearly 80, yes, 80 years working inside of CNN, to a level of disappointment and embarrassment. It is my great hope that someone strong be hired to be in charge of CNN and demand editorial accuracy to restore dependable reliability in the network, end quote. That's good work from my guy, John Fricke. And I have no idea his politics. He's a CNN alum, and even he is embarrassed. And it's not his style to rip his past employers on social media. I'm in the camp of Trump and Hegseth on this one. CNN, leakers in Congress, Iran, can't be trusted at all. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Big Take brought to you by First Bank. If you're ready to drive your business success with a trusted local partner, you can count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts and reactions. I want to get Dawn's thoughts on this as the journalist and the reporter on the show with Natasha Bertrand and CNN, and we'll do that on the other side. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in, fire your comments at 1210 WPHT on X, as well as your comments in the YouTube chat. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders, because they don't make furniture like they used to. And that's exactly why Bucks County Estate Traders is your summer home upgrade destination. It is mine. June 30th through July 7th, that's right, their 4th of July sale, you will get 20 to 50% off select items store-wide. Doesn't matter what style you're seeking, folks. Classic, modern, rustic, traditional. You'll find over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture, from vintage treasures to designer showstoppers. We're talking about all the legendary brands, Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, the kind of quality that has lasted generation after generation at a fraction of retail prices. Every piece comes with a QR code. You scan it, you snap that picture, you get instant information. Shop the sale at BucksCountyEstateTraders.com and use the code USA25 at checkout. Once again, BucksCountyEstateTraders.com. When you go to checkout, use code USA25. 4th of July sale, it's on the way. 20 to 50% off select items store-wide. And tell them Nick Kale sent you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, Peter McKeon, Highlight Electric, final day of his week with the playlist. Big donation to the Travis Mannion Foundation. I think if you're willing to throw up at least a grand or more, Stocker will give up a week. Maybe we can get to the finish line today with Families Behind the Badge and our 15K goal. Just over $1,000 away, fbbcf.org or the alternate website, gregstockersucks.com. Dawn Stensland, you are the journalist on this program, single sourcing, running with shaky info at best. Your thoughts on Natasha Bertrand, CNN, and the way they are under fire for what they are claiming was an ineffective strike.
Trending on social media, nasty Natasha, yes. Nasty girl.
By the way, Elon Musk is getting rid of hashtags, speaking of social media.
Woohoo!
Yeah, no more hashtags.
No more. So I think nasty Natasha got played, but by who? That is the question that I'm curious about. Was it, in fact, somebody, we talked about this week, what if it's an elected member of Congress? Because remember, there were a few top people who were told. This morning, President Trump on True Social is writing about Natasha Bertrand, says she should be, all caps, fired from CNN, dot, dot, dot. says she should be reprimanded, then thrown out like a dog. We have to get Sean Farish.
Oh,
he literally said like a dog.
Oh, no.
She lied on the laptop from hell story. Now she lied on the nuclear site story, attempting to destroy our Patriot pilots by making them look bad when, in fact, they did a great job. And hit the pay dirt, total obliteration. He ends the long post by fire Natasha. That was posted about, Nick, that was posted literally within the past like 15 minutes.
Okay.
While I was gasbagging. The president was listening to Nick Cale and watching Nick Cale on YouTube and watching your big take. And he was like, that's it. Nick is talking about nasty Natasha.
Telling me to hurry up.
Yeah, fire her.
Well, apparently last night, the Trump administration had threatened to sue the New York Times and CNN. Trump's lawyer told the New York Times in a letter, you must retract and apologize or get sued. The New York Times has rejected. I'm not sure what CNN's statement was. Both outlets, according to everybody's reporting, falsely reported on a leaked and then taken out of context intel assessment. And I actually want to mention those three posts that I showed you on YouTube. You can go back and click on the links from the editor of Media Research Center and Newsbusters, and it'll chronicle the full timeline. I tried to condense it the best I could for the sake of 10 to 12 minutes there in the big take. But the big issue at hand here, from what I've read following the full timeline, is what Natasha Bertrand reported on Tuesday versus what she then corrects and edits in, I believe, a written form on Wednesday. That is what CNN and those two hacks, Kate Buldan and the other broad, yep, right there. See, there it is. Yeah, that's the Wednesday. That's the revised edition. The original report is what's at question here and what the issue is. And we actually have the initial report. Phil, this is clip K1, and I believe this is Natasha Bertrand on with the morning anchors on CNN News Central. Let's roll her initial report, because you will not hear, to my knowledge, the words low confidence and whatever else is in question that was then later updated. Take a look at this.
Yeah, Boris, so this is an early assessment from the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the Pentagon's intelligence arm. And we do want to emphasize that the intelligence, of course, is ongoing. The collection is ongoing, and the assessments as a result of that intelligence could change. But as of right now, the DIA has produced this intelligence assessment that we are told was based on the battle damage assessment that U.S. Central Command has done following those massive bombings and strikes that the U.S. carried out inside Iran last weekend. And what we are told is that based on the assessments of the damage that these bombs implemented on these nuclear sites, that as of right now, it does not appear that they ended or obliterated Iran's nuclear program. Instead, they only set it back by months, according to people who were briefed on the assessment. Now, these findings are obviously at odds with President Donald Trump's repeated assertions that the strikes, quote, completely and totally obliterated Iran's nuclear enrichment facility, something that has been echoed as well by Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. But we did ask the White House for comment on this, and they appeared to acknowledge the existence of the assessment, but they said that they disagreed with it. According to White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, she said, quote, this alleged assessment is flat out wrong. She said it was classified as top secret, but was still leaked to CNN by an anonymous low-level loser in the intelligence community. The leaking of this alleged assessment is a clear attempt to demean President Trump and discredit the brave fighter pilots who conducted a perfectly executed mission to obliterate Iran's nuclear program. Everyone knows what happens when you drop 14 30,000-pound bombs perfectly on their targets. Total obliteration. Now, it's worth noting that there has been some disagreement within the intelligence community and the defense community about just what kind of impact these massive bunker-busting 30,000-pound bombs would actually have on Iranian nuclear facilities, because they have never been used in combat before.
All right. So, Dawn Stensland, I'm curious, because in the world of, you know, media journalism, as far as, you know, being the top dog in your profession, you want to be the person that gets all the scoops, all the sources. Hey, this CNN reporter blows away the person on MSNBC, Fox's Peter Ducey, or this guy or that gal crushes Newsmax's top reporter. What is the delicate balance of the rush to be first on a story versus getting it right? Because she has a history of running with bad sources only to have it make it look like she's the fool and the sucker weeks, months, if not years later.
To me, what I see with Natasha Bertrand is she is the go-to girl. In other words, hey, let's get Natasha. She'll say anything. So they leak it to her, and she just regurgitates whatever they tell her.
But whatever happened to a second or a third source? Isn't that journalism 101?
What she doesn't mention here, just a couple of things, is that, you know, you would have discussions on this. You would go to others. She does say the words, this is an early intel assessment. I infer from her that she doesn't understand what that terminology means. So when she says, this is an early intel assessment, a lot of people go, oh, well, of course it's early. It's Tuesday morning. You got this yesterday, and this just happened over the weekend. But what we now know about these assessments is it's preliminary, and oftentimes that's why it's top secret and they don't release it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in essence, I don't even understand. It sounds almost like they're creating a venue by which then they all start investigating and printing on the same or, you know, like a shared document almost. In other words, she should have explained, and maybe she didn't know, she shouldn't have reported it, first of all. If somebody told me
right.
that, Nick,
yeah.
and I suspect that it's going to be a member of Congress. I really do.
Well, wouldn't you want to corroborate this and go say...
Yeah, because you don't want to look like an idiot.
Right. Like, hey, I just had a source tell me X, Y, or Z. Have you heard anything to this effect? Can you confirm or is there some validity and merit to what my first source is saying? I'm not saying you got to have four or five sources. We see all these stories, you know, Politico this, Washington Post that, Fox News that, according to seven sources familiar with the situation. But a single source... with the same president again, with multiple issues in the past of failed reporting. I mean, I'm not calling for anybody's job, but my God, can you at least get it right or remotely right? And then the rest of her colleagues, they doubled down mm-hmm. in defense of her.
Well, that's my number two thing. So when I've worked at any station and they're making an announcement about somebody I work with and they say, hey, we want you to read such and such statement, I say, nope, I'm not reading. I'm not HR. I'm not reading a statement. Get your HR person. You never read a statement about your colleague because you don't want to be named in the lawsuit.
Mm.
So, and also then it's the sour grapes are on you as well.
Yeah.
So that was a rookie move by CNN to have those two anchor women announcing something about a colleague. They shouldn't have done that. And on this one, I'll just say, of course, you would go back to any sources that you may have and say, what does that mean early? And, look at, I know this was historic, and that's the whole point.
Right.
This thing, we've never seen this.
No.
With these types of, these deep penetration, huge 30,000 each bombs. I mean, we've never seen anything like it. So I understand it's historic. But in every one of these, if you've covered it, if you had any level of a brain, you would look back at these so early assessments by Intel and you would then deduct for yourself even that oftentimes this is not something that you would report.
Yep. I agree.
You know?
Yep.
So she got played, and if she loses her job, it's not because she reported what a source says. It's because she could have said, we've debated on whether we should report this. Because you know what? These early intel reports, essentially, not give a Nick Cale percentage. Like, you always love to make
yeah,
everything up.
I'm a math nerd.
Hey, yeah, right? So, hey, we figured out of the last, you know, 20 years, 85 to 95% of these things have been wrong.
Yep.
Like, if she had said that, but she said, I have a high-level source, you know
right.
what I mean?
Are the senators who came out of the briefing yesterday wrong when they say, let me quote Chris Murphy here, and I know you're going to say, well, he's a Democrat, but this falls on party lines. We have not obliterated the programs. He accuses the Trump administration of deliberately misleading the public. So are the senators wrong, too?
Well, it's not that they're wrong.
Who went into...
I mean, when Trump says it was perfect, Trump says everything's perfect. Trump's a classic embellisher.
This falls on party lines. That's the problem with this, is you can't find any information because anybody who's pro-administration, like, well, they're lying. They don't know what they're talking about. And then all the Democrats are coming out and saying, no, we didn't obliterate
this. Well, I would like to know the difference between, and it's a wide-ranging gap here. We've heard that their nuclear program has been set back decades. We've heard it's been set back months. I mean, that's a substantial difference. I mean, we're talking 20, 30 years versus, what, 3 to 6 months? How do you define success?
It's also very interesting that Tulsi Gabbard was not involved in that hearing yesterday.
Yeah, that still doesn't sit.
Well, you had, I mean, General, you know, Dan Kane, they call him Raising Kane, but Dan Kane saying that 30,000-pound bombs, you know, dropped on this in a historic matter, exploding like this.
Agreed. I'm saying that the administration is, and the fans of the administration are saying one thing, and the other side is saying the other.
They're literally debating what the word obliterated means because they don't want to give credit to this administration for moving in there in a historic military, you know, unbelievable operation. And wiping out this program, which is, I believe, at the end of the day, what they're going to say, they wiped out their ability to possess anytime soon nuclear weapons. It was incredible. So they're going to sit here and parse words. Well, it's not exactly obliterated. It's more like wiped out. Like, give me a break.
Well, if that expert in the Middle East is accurate with his assessment that I quoted from whatever Institute of Policy, blah, 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 I have to guess. I always love to throw out numbers, which I do. I would say that we're probably talking at least 80% towards their goal.
Well, Chris Murphy says, to me, it still appears that we only have set back the Iranian nuclear program by a handful of months. So that's a senator saying that. I'm not saying he's telling the truth.
Right.
And I'm not saying this dopey reporter from CNN, whatever that F her name is, who cares about her? I'm not saying her report's true either. What I'm saying is that we have, like, this is divided on party lines.
Oh, it's tribal.
Rah-rah Trump administration saying, yeah, we killed everybody and blew up everything. And we have the other side saying, we did, we set it back a couple months.
Right.
So, like, it's just, you know, the American public gets screwed because both sides are, you know, say we won or no, we didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tribal and gross. The whole thing is gross. You're just looking for the truth.
855-839-1210. News to kick off hour two. And then the Biden administration auto pen admission, but yet some contradiction with it. Hour two's next. Stay there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.